Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter. And this feels strange. I'm not used to doing a PW Torch Livecast in prime time when it's dark out. Normally I'm doing shows in the afternoon, typically Tuesdays and Thursdays. Well, we're shaking up the schedule with, we've been talking about doing some things differently once Live SmackDown started on Tuesdays, and the change is that now I am going to be hosting the Tuesday post SmackDown show with a rotation of co-hosts today, and perhaps semi-regularly, Torch columnist Pat McNeil will be joining me for this program. And the Tuesday afternoon flagship edition of the PW Torch Livecast, most often over the years hosted co-hosted by Jason Powell of ProWrestling.net, is now moving to Wednesdays at 1 Eastern this week. Jason Powell joining me tomorrow, 1 Eastern at the normal time for the Tuesday show, but we'll now have that show on Wednesdays. The reason for that being that we want to be able to talk about both Raw and SmackDown and kind of reflect on the big picture and look ahead a little bit and cover more topics. The Tuesday show had kind of become a Raw discussion program, and we want the midweek flagship, as we're sort of calling it, to be something that covers a wide array of topics. So we hope tomorrow, Wednesday, you'll join Jason Powell and me at our regular time, New Day, 1 Eastern. Did I just say New Day? 1 Eastern. And we'll take your phone calls, and we can talk about NXT TakeOver. We can talk about SummerSlam. We can talk about the news of the week. A lot of news stories outside of what happens on Raw and SmackDown. But we can also reflect on Raw and SmackDown and viewership numbers, TV ratings, and the fallout from that. So join us for that. Let's get to it, though. We're going to take phone calls on today's program. We'd love to hear from you, 646-721-9828. I expect to be able to hear from some regular listeners who normally listen to my Tuesday PW Torch Livecast and Interview Thursday edition of the Livecast, but don't listen live because those shows are on during the day. You might be at work. If you're overseas, you might be sleeping. Now you have a chance to call into the program. I'd love to hear from some first-time callers to a program that I am hosting. And our number is 646-721-9828. Let's bring Pat McNeil into the program. Pat, it is great to have you on the program. I should note that your long-running Wednesday PW Torch Livecast is now melding with the original VIP audio show that you did, The Real Deal with Pat McNeil, that we've been putting up retro editions of on the VIP website, because we run regular editions of 10 years ago VIP audio shows for VIP members who want to get a glimpse of what we were talking about 10 years ago. Maybe glimpse isn't the word since it's an audio thing, but you get my point. That will become VIP exclusive, and I'm excited to post that later this week. And I know VIP members will be looking forward to that, Pat. But welcome to the new live post SmackDown livecast.
Yes, it's good to be here. Hello, you people. we're bringing back the Real Deal with Pat McNeil, and there will be other people on with me, and we'll be doing a variety of other stuff. Right now, we're expecting the first part of it to go up tomorrow night for VIP members, and the second part to go up on Thursday, kind of like everybody else's VIP audio shows. So, something to look forward to.
Excellent, excellent.
And we will have a few surprises for you. So the only way you can find out is to tune in, or if you're not a VIP member, to go VIP and then tune in.
Sounds great. I do want to note we'll have tons of UFC 203 coverage. Excuse me, UFC 202 coverage this weekend. I'm jumping ahead to CM Punk at 203. This weekend at MMATorch.com. Hope you'll check out our website, MMATorch.com, our sister website. A lot of new writers, a lot of new features, a lot of news on Dana White doing the media rounds this week, talking to ESPN Sports Center about whether MMA should become an Olympic sport. He was talking about John Jones and the new hope that John Jones has and reason for it, that maybe those USADA test flaggings that he had won't lead to a suspension. There's some interesting details on that over at MMAtorch.com. Our latest roundtable feature, who should Nick Diaz face in his return from suspension and why? He's on his way back. A lot of things going on in the world of MMA. CM Punk, perhaps John Jones, for sure Nick Diaz, and also George St. Pierre all seem to be headed back to the Octagon later this year. So check out our sister brand, MMAtorch.com. It is mobile-friendly and also looks great on your laptop with our newly redesigned site. Pat, tonight on SmackDown, we had the final chance for WWE on live primetime TV to promote SummerSlam. And they closed with John Cena pinning Alberto Del Rio and then getting into it with AJ Styles. AJ attacked him with a phenomenal forearm as Cena was kind of recovering from his victory, an exhausting, grueling match with Del Rio. And then Cena managed to make a full comeback and give AJ an attitude adjustment off the ringside steps through the announce table.
It was also kind of an FU, yeah.
It kind of was. To me, the logic, the booking 101 logic is have the heel get something up on the babyface who's exhausted from his match. So John Cena fans go, yeah, but that wasn't fair. Cena was tired, and that was a cheap shot. I can't wait to see Cena get revenge against AJ on Sunday. What's the logic behind that show-closing angle to have John Cena standing tall having destroyed AJ? I don't really feel, unless I'm an AJ Styles fan, wanting to see AJ get revenge, which is kind of backwards the way WWE's promoting it. I don't understand the logic of that booking, Pat.
Okay, there's two ways to look at it logically. The first one is the way you suggested. They've just gone ahead and assumed that most of the grown-ups are AJ Styles fans and will be tuning in to see him get his revenge on Sunday. That's a possibility. The other is that we're in the area where we're not really trying to sell pay-per-views. We're trying to sell a network. And, most of you've already, they've got 20 different things that they're selling the network on. Most of the people who are going to order the network already have it, and they're already going to see the show. Cena and Styles is arguably the number five match on SummerSlam. We've got 11 matches on this show so far. So really the objective is to try and get people to tune into SmackDown. You do that by putting in the big main event of John Cena versus Alberto Del Rio, whether that's a big event in 2016, that's your opinion. And to have everybody, who's watching can leave the show happy knowing that John Cena has stood tall once again and overcome amazing odds. Yeah?
And he was healthy enough to go directly onto Talking Smack. He is live right now talking to Renee Young on our competitor, the Talking Smack show over on WWE Network, available on demand.
That's right, because if John Cena had been beaten up and put through a table by AJ Styles, he couldn't do Talking Smack.
Right, so they have their priorities straight, Pat. They have their priorities straight. All right. There is a lot more to talk about from this show, and we'll get to that throughout the show. I'll also be doing the Wade Keller Hotline for VIP members, where I run down the whole program and get my thoughts on all the big stuff and all the little stuff, too, in a detailed rundown that's part of a VIP membership. If you're not a VIP member, you can check out full details on everything that comes with that. Nearly 30 years of archives, unmatched anywhere on the internet. Over 1,400 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter. Star ratings, match reports, roundtable reviews of every pay-per-view since 1988. Cover stories on the biggest news of the past three decades. Columns from Pat McNeil and many others throughout. Torch Talk interviews. Before there were podcasts, there were Torch Talks, and those ran throughout the late 80s and 90s in those back issues. Fascinating stuff. We're just putting up PDFs and all-text editions of the 20 years ago back issues covering Hulk Hogan's heel turn, joining the NWO, and more jumps back and forth as the Monday Night War really started to heat up. It's fascinating stuff. One little bonus, unexpected bonus, a better way to put it. This weekend, somebody sent me a 900 number update that I did on November 5th, 1997. Pre-internet, well, there was an internet, but it was pre-Torch website and pre-podcast, certainly.
Right.
A 900 update on Bret Hart, the breaking news that Bret Hart was being pushed out the door by Vince McMahon. His contract would not be honored. Go take that WCW offer. We can't afford you. An incredible amount of detail, insider news that I broke that night on the 900 number. that full report is available with a VIP membership too. It was just somebody who happened, Pat, to record a couple 900 numbers, a couple 900 recordings back when they got a new phone recording device, and they tested it out in the 900 number so they could re-listen back to it. He happened to save that tape, and we put it up. So lots of cool stuff on a VIP membership. And you right now with Jim Valley are reviewing another pay-per-view. Is it WrestleMania 20 right now you've done 2 hours of?
We are in the middle of WrestleMania 20. That's if you're a VIP member, episodes 100 and 101 are the first part of it, which means that the one that goes up on Sunday, episode 102, just conveniently happens to be the one that covers Bill Goldberg's last match in WWE, which was against Brock Lesnar. Yeah,
cool stuff. That's the week 1 hour each week. In real time, you and Jim watch the shows, comment on them, so VIP members can listen to these shows on their laptop or put headphones on their phone, however they listen to podcasts, and sync it up with the actual show and get insight from you and Jim Valley. Just funny comments, running commentary, insight, observations. You guys were following the inside of the wrestling industry back then and can give backstage stories. It just gives a whole new perspective as alternate commentary. It's a really cool VIP feature. So if anybody out there wants to go VIP, we really encourage you to check out the full array of features and pricing options over at pwtorch.com/goVIP. Pat, let's take some phone calls and see what people listen to talk about. And we'll begin with area code 914. 914, thanks for calling. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Oh, yeah. Hey, guys. How are you doing tonight? This is Sean. I'm calling from Stamford, Connecticut.
Excellent, Sean. Thanks for calling.
Hello, Sean.
What have you got for us?
Thanks for taking my call. I got to tell you that, after the whole thing with Brock getting, testing positive and that whole situation, yeah, I'm just not as excited for him. I mean, before he went into UFC this year, his character definitely needs freshening up. I wasn't impressed with the Ambrose match at WrestleMania. And now it just seems so, I don't know, I'm just not excited for his match at SummerSlam. I mean, what do you think? Do you think I'm alone? And do you think that, what do you think they can do to maybe freshen him up? And, I mean, where do you see, if you were to book Brock Lesnar, how would you book him?
Pat, I'm going to throw to you on that one. I know you won't be with me for the whole show here, so I'm going to lean on you a little heavier for the early part of the program. Where is your excitement level on Brock, and would you be booking him differently headed into this match?
My excitement level is it's where Sean is. Actually, it's probably a little higher than what Sean's is. I would have been more excited if Brock Lesnar had won his UFC match and had not tested positive for PEDs, obviously. And that I know that doesn't make sense because really it's not going to make a difference as to what Brock Lesnar is using when he is or not using when he is working for WWE. But I would be booking Brock Lesnar I'd probably be booking him as a babyface because obviously we've established that babyfaces use PEDs and violate the wellness policy. That's what they do. And I don't know that I'd be putting him against Randy Orton. I don't know that Randy Orton's really a sympathetic character. I mean, maybe you do the match, except Lesnar's babyface. I mean, it's tough because, or maybe you actually use Brock Lesnar, put him in with somebody to try and get somebody else over who's, maybe not been in the business for 15 years.
Yeah, I mean, this really has come down to, and they're showing a replay right now on Talking Smack of Randy Orton giving Heath Slater the RKO. I've really enjoyed Heath Slater the past two, 3 weeks, or really ever since the draft. I think they've done nice things with him. And he's done a really fun job doing comedy and kind of weaving the whole free agent storyline into things. And I thought it was good use of him tonight to put over the RKO. Randy, I was hoping for more out of this, but it's typical of WWE, I think, to take a match like this and try to keep it simple. It's about the RKO versus Suplex City. I mean, I think they've done a pretty decent job. I'm choosing my words carefully because I don't want to over-understate. I think they've done a decent job building up anticipation for whether Randy can pull off an RKO against Randy Orton and what will happen when Randy Orton gets taken to Suplex City. I put myself as more intrigued probably than Sean and maybe you, Pat. But, yeah, I mean, this could have been more if it felt like Brock was juggling two careers. Now, I mean, with the John Jones situation with the USADA and Dana White issuing a statement and talking about it, that, you know, things might be looking up for him, which is good for John Jones fans and people who want to see John Jones in his prime fight and not be suspended for 2 years, and I'm sure Daniel Cormier is happy about it. Who knows what can happen with Brock Lesnar in this situation? But yeah, I mean, it would be more exciting if Brock was this heavyweight contender that was going to be a significant heavyweight contender and perhaps a champion again. But I don't know. I think they've done a decent job having. I thought Lesnar on Monday night had a really fun demeanor. Unlike what Randy said on that video package, Brock seemed to like people, Pat. He enjoyed the crowd reaction he got on Monday night. So I don't know. I'd give him a passing grade for the hype building up the RKO. But I sort of think we got a clue tonight, Pat, that maybe the next feud for Randy will be Bray Wyatt, the way they crossed paths as Randy was leaving and Bray was coming to the ring. Is that your interpretation of that?
Yeah, that's where I think this is heading, although, you know, there's, I mean, they're leaving little mysteries to be solved here, and they should, because they have a TV show every week that needs to be filled. I think what it boils down to, though, is, you know, this is one of three main events on one of two pay-per-views this weekend on the WWE Network. And I mean, they haven't put all the focus into that they put into, say, Undertaker and Brock Lesnar last year.
Right. Yeah. So. You mentioned the match hierarchy and maybe AJ Cena being the fifth match on this show.
Yeah.
What are your top four?
Well, if you're going that way, okay, you got Lesnar and Orton. You have Finn Balor and Seth Rollins. Dean Ambrose and Dolph Ziggler for the WWE title,
yep.
And then Roman Reigns versus Rusev. That would be four.
Yeah, I guess with the title on the line. I was kind of wondering what the fourth match would be for you. I'm kind of thinking that, yeah, I mean, Cena Styles.
Or I guess you could go Sasha and Charlotte if you really wanted to.
That's what I was thinking. You might be saying that. I don't know if they're quite where they should be in that regard. Like they were in NXT.
They're six right now, I think.
Yeah. It's a loaded card. I mean, it is a deep card. And, I mean, what a weekend. I mean, what a weekend we're in for. It's going to be fun. Anyway, Sean, I want to go back to anything else you have before we go to one of many other callers on hold here.
I mean, do you think that there could be kind of a double screw job thing with maybe Bray getting involved? And, you know, I mean, there's all these hints of Goldberg being around this weekend.
Ah, cool. Yeah, go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, there are lots of rumblings about that. If it comes to that, the obvious play would be to have Goldberg somehow cost Lesnar the match, and start the road, which I guess would get them to having Goldberg actually wrestle Lesnar in Orlando at WrestleMania 33.
Pat, do you think that fans would be upset if Orton Lesnar doesn't end with a relatively clean finish? Because you could do a relatively clean finish without Bray or Goldberg or both getting involved. But would Goldberg showing up be big enough news that it would make up for a lack of a clean finish between Orton and Lesnar?
Yeah, I think it would, especially if the other big matches have clean finishes. I think you only want to pull that out, you know, maybe one, you know, of the big matches of the night. And if Goldberg is showing up again after, God, this is 12 years, I think that's big enough news.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I'm intrigued with what they do with that. Sean, appreciate the call. Let's go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll take more phone calls and talk more about tonight's episode of WWE SmackDown. If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com. Don't forget to check out pwtorch.com's live coverage of NXT TakeOver Saturday night and SummerSlam on Sunday night. We'll have live coverage. Pat, you'll be writing up your pay-per-view preview for SummerSlam. Will you be doing a preview for NXT TakeOver also?
Actually, I was also going to do a pay-per-view preview for Ring of Honor's Death Before Dishonor.
Good. I'm glad you brought that up, too. I should mention them. I'm being a little WWE-focused here. Yeah, that adds to an even bigger weekend.
I've heard rumors also that Evolve is doing a couple of shows this weekend,
it's,
too.
It's crazy.
For what
yeah.
that's worth.
No,
yeah.
this is it's actually yeah. pretty amazing how comparable this is from if you're not on location at SummerSlam, this is a comparable weekend in terms of how much you can actually fit in nonstop compared to WrestleMania weekend. I mean, it's starting to approach that in terms of the options that you have watching at home, especially with the added, if you're an MMA fan, having a big UFC show on the same weekend in a way almost makes it feel a little bigger than WrestleMania weekend. A big ROH show, a huge NXT show, Shinsuke Nakamura, Samoa Joe earlier today calling out Brock Lesnar, which was interesting in an interview.
Yeah.
So I was glad to see that. I like to see Joe aiming high. You know, Sean talked about maybe Lesnar should be putting over somebody, be in the ring with somebody who he hasn't faced before and has an upside. I mean, Samoa Joe's, I think, older than Randy Orton, but certainly younger in terms of how exposed and defined he is within the WWE structure. I sure hope someday we see Joe and Lesnar. That's something that I just think it's a really good matchup size-wise, and just Joe standing opposite of Brock is something that I think will just sell tickets. I think Joe's intensity will match Brock's really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a crazy weekend, and, you know, I'm going to mention this. You know, if you haven't watched Evolve, this is the big Cody Rhodes versus Zack Sabre Jr. match that we've got coming up this weekend that a lot of people are, so say, intrigued by.
Good point. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. I will choose to go to area code 615 next. 615, please state your name and where you're calling from.
It's Michael from Nashville.
Thanks, Michael. What have you got for us?
So, I just had a few things about tonight. First up, I thought the opening segment, the Dolphin, you know, and Dean segment was going to go very similar to what it, you know, did that first week, you know, where I know Wade was complaining about Ziggler yelling, but I thought it was going to go that way, and then Ziggler, of course, at the end, pulls the super kick. And I liked it. Overall, I thought the show was solid, but I actually liked that. I thought it was kind of cool, because it's like, oh, he's just going to yell again, and then all of a sudden he does super kick out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
I did like that, too.
We talked way before about, you know, I mean, people were talking about Dolph Ziggler needs a distinct personality, and I think now they've given him one, except it's Shawn Michaels' personality, but it is his personality.
We did put up the SmackDown poll on pwtorch.com, and right now the number one vote getter is that the show was below average, but that's because we only have one vote. The poll just went up. So go vote right now. Let us know what you think of SmackDown. This poll will be open for all week. So if you're listening to us tonight, on Tuesday night or Wednesday, go to pwtorch.com and vote. And we have a poll up for Raw also. We'd love to have you participate in that. You can also pick what the best match on the show was. That's at pwtorch.com. Download our app, too. And it's free. It's in the App Store. Redesigned this week. We had a little a freeze up in the feed and in the process of changing some things around. It is back up live, and it is pretty cool. So hope you'll download that. It's free, and it gives you access to not only articles in a mobile-friendly environment, but also this show, the live cast, a handy link, one tap away with our app to a whole list of live casts, including a category menu now for each individual day of the week and each show. If you want to just kind of jump to catch up on interviews or something like that, you can do so within our app. All right, go back to our conversation here about Dolph, though, Pat. The segment with Dean, how do you rate the performance of both Dean and Dolph? Has Dean turned it up as Steve Austin I encouraged him to do last week on the interview, and was Dolph yelling too much, or did he raise his game a little bit without just trying to yell to seem serious?
He did better. I think there's room for improvement with Dolph Ziggler. I think that Dean's at his best when he's more serious crazy instead of comedy crazy.
Oh yeah.
So
this was a good version of that.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Yeah, I would give a more than passing grade, Michael, to both Dolph and Dean in the segment. I came away wanting to see their match more. One thing that I like is about any kind of promo or angle or and just the presentation to WWE's product is when what people are thinking, they acknowledge within reason. And people are thinking Dolph doesn't belong in this match. He's been losing. He's been a disappointment. He's fizzled out. Some of the words that and adjectives that Dean used are what people are thinking. When Dolph got the big push right after the draft, it was sort of like, okay, cool, we like Dolph, he's good, but is this going to be believable, and will he rise to the occasion in terms of how he presents himself? Well, all of that was addressed in this promo. And I'm not saying you have to go into shoot mode and break the fourth wall or break the narrative structure. This isn't. This is acknowledging what's happening within the WWE storylines, within the narrative that they tell. Dolph has fizzled. He has been a disappointment. He's had ups and downs. And this is a big test for him. And I thought that Dolph gave a good response to Dean and I think made people who want to see Dolph succeed believe that Sunday might be his night. And that's the job of a challenger. And I thought Dean did a good job, seeming like he was a confident champion who, you know, I like the lecture that he gave Dolph about it's not just becoming champion and then everything is great. The pressure then really kicks in once you are champion. And that almost felt like a line born from the comments that Steve Austin made to him last week on the Stone Cold podcast. So anyway, some interesting stuff. I think the Stone Cold podcast with Dean, I think it dropped today. So if you don't have WWE Network and missed it, it's been a much talked about podcast interview. Very awkward dynamic in a lack of chemistry with Steve and Dean on the air. You might pick up on that with the audio, although I really think, Pat, you got to see the body language and the facial expressions, especially of Steve, yeah, to really pick up on what was going on. I'm actually kind of curious to listen to it without watching to see if it strips away a lot of the tension and awkwardness or not. But overall, yeah, going back to the angle, good, I thought a good closing angle for that match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, not every live cast interview or podcast interview has chemistry. So, I guess I am kind of curious to hear the audio. That'll be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's. If you want to give us a call, by the way, you can do so at 646-721-9828. We're not going to be doing a 90-minute show like the James Caldwell and Greg Parks hosted Raw show. We're going to kind of go rapid fire through calls and wrap up in less than an hour on these post-game SmackDown shows. So we're going to try to squeeze you in. So don't wait if you're interested in being on the program. Pat, do you have to run or do you want to stick around for 5 more minutes and take some more calls?
Yeah, I do have to run.
Okay.
But it's been great, and we will definitely be doing this again one way or the other, you know, on a rotating basis. So.
Absolutely. I always, Pat, enjoy having you on the show. Speaking of chemistry, I enjoy our chemistry analyzing wrestling, and we'll talk to you next time.
I always enjoy working with you, Wade, no matter what others may tell you.
That's right. Thank you. All right, that is Pat
McGill.
Good
night, everybody.
You can read his pay-per-view previews at pwtorch.com this week, and you can go VIP and hear the new, the revamped, the brought back from the past Real Deal with Pat McNeil. You can also hear versions of the Pat McNeil Real Deal with Pat McNeil on our 10 years ago audio feed, part of a VIP membership. Let's keep rolling through phone calls and go next to area code 478-478. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Darrell from Georgia. How you doing tonight, buddy?
Doing good, Darrell. Good to talk to you. What have you got for me today? I was going to say us, but it's down to me.
Okay, two things. The main event, I like seeing AJ as a heel. It just reminds me of how he was in New Japan. I like the promo that he cut tonight. I think that they'll probably do a swerve, maybe let him win Sunday to set off a big feud maybe between him and Dean for the title. What you think about that? And also, last 2 weeks, Alberto Del Rio has been the main event. Do you kind of think this is a way that they semi-building him back up, make him seem important, so maybe they can use him down the line? And that's it for me.
Darrell, I think having Del Rio lose to Cena, and you know he was protected last week a little bit with Orton, but losing to Cena this week, I don't know that that's rebuilding him. I mean, at least they gave a little bit of a backstory and reminded us of the history between the two of them with the Hell in a Cell last year, and Del Rio, you know, being involved in taking Cena out. But I believe when somebody of Del Rio's stature on the roster and his history as a former world champion, he's a main eventer off and on over the years in WWE, I think you want to make a match between him and Cena seem like it means more. And I would have liked to have heard from Cena a backstage promo with John Cena. We didn't have the studio desk interviews this week. The using the Talking Smack set, which I think was probably a good idea. I'm glad they tried it, but I'm not sure that it's the right thing to have as part of the live program. But I did miss having a backstage or even a pre-match interview. You know, if David Otunga come up to John Cena after the ring entrance, or right before he comes out for his ring entrance, have someone interview him backstage and just ask him about Del Rio. You know, give us a little bit of a sense that this matters to Cena, and have Cena talk about it. I would have liked that, and by not doing it, I think it diminishes Del Rio a little bit. It makes it seem like maybe they're not giving him that big of a push. I Del Rio, I don't think you can build a whole show around him, but using him as just a utility guy to fill TV time against Cena, I don't think that really says that they've got big plans for him. I like your idea, though, that, you know, with Cena going over, I talked to Pat at the top of the show, Cena looking strong against AJ, it may be an indication that, you know, the way WWE books, it's always that you know, heavy-handed reverse psychology. So maybe they will have that Cena coming out on top is an indication that AJ comes out on top on Sunday. And if AJ gets a big win against Cena, I could absolutely see them shifting to Dean Ambrose defending the title against AJ. I do not expect Dolph Ziggler to become the WWE champion on Sunday. I mean, I could be surprised. I'm not ruling it out. But I think, I mean, and if it happens, it might be that it might have been spurred by Dean's nonchalant, he just woke up from a nap performance against Steve Austin last Monday. It was almost like they were battling each other at times, or I don't know. The whole demeanor was weird, and if Dean loses on Sunday, it could be a sign that they just want to transfer away from him and send a message. I don't think it's that big of a deal what happened last Monday, though. I think last week it felt like kind of a big deal. People are still talking about it now, but I don't think it was enough of an incident for Dean to, you know, have the course of his career be changed or anything like that. So overall, I think Dean wins, and I do like the idea of AJ looking strong against Cena, and Dean against AJ, I think, could be a good feud. I think they got to get Dean against a heel, you know, a full-fledged heel to get his title reign on track. So we'll see how it goes. Good topic, Stroll. Appreciate it. Let's go next to area code 773. 773, if you hear the beep, that's you. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Boris from Chicago.
Hey, Boris, what have you got for me today?
Okay. Well, you know, let's go there. I'm still trying to grasp where it's a change because, you know, with John Cena, this logic they got, AJ is not looking strong. You know,
yep.
I'm trying to look around what they're doing, but this dude just went through a grueling match. And you got a fresh character that just sit there on commentary, came out here and just took it. I mean, who can't see through this stuff? He just took it.
What do you mean see through it?
Right?
What do you mean see through it?
AJ Styles he didn't wrestle. He just sat there and was on commentary. And John Cena just wrestled a match.
I agree.
And how you just take somebody, you just woke up and just took him out. And all I'm saying is that if he's supposed to be looking forward to SmackDown having changed, this is the same old thing. This is the same old program, even without the brand split. Especially if we've seen other shows that we're waiting on them to die, TNA. Getting all these other guys, you know, the Damon Sandows, talking about they're going to try to do something that they couldn't do on a show that they couldn't do with this program, with this company that ain't, it's not even looking for it. That, you know, they're not leaving. There's nothing wrong with WWE, right? Far as they're not going to close and nothing like that. These other companies are on the brink of closing and stuff, but you still have Russell still trying to show that they got something that they never got when it was on WWE. That's my frustration with this whole thing is that I look forward to SmackDown. I chose SmackDown. It's still the same stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. Boris, I agree. I think that what they did at the end of SmackDown would be reason for frustration if you're not a John Cena fan and you are an AJ fan, or if you're looking for some regime change. So if that's what you're looking for, tune in Sunday, because if you're familiar with WWE's sort of even Steven or you know, heavy-handed reverse psychology, what happened tonight might be a good sign for AJ come Sunday, given the way that WWE books. Our phone number is 646-721-9828. Love to hear from some new voices, too. We got some regulars on the program so far. Let's go to area code 512 next. 512, you are up. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hey, Wade, it's Jason in Austin.
Hey, Jason. Good to hear from you. What have you got for me?
Hey, just driving home from SmackDown. They were here in town tonight, and so just wanted to share a few impressions from the show. I apologize if the sound is bad on the car phone.
You sound good. Please drive safely. If you need to pause to be safe, please do that if you are actually driving. And, yeah, let us know about the show. What happened?
Yeah, that's okay. I'm going hands-free.
Cool. Yeah, it sounds good.
It was so after... Afterwards, it was they did Reigns and Rollins did a dark match, or whatever you call it, off-camera match. It was pretty quick. Reigns won clean with the spear. You know, about the reaction to Reigns that you would expect, lots of boos. I will give him credit for whatever it's worth. Who knows what his motivation was, but he stayed around a long time after the show. Reigns did and took a lot of photos with fans sitting on the front row. Which was pretty cool. For whatever it's worth, I know the rap on Reigns, and I largely agree with it. But I did think it was cool. He did a lot of time with fans after the show. Crowd was not real strong into much until the main event. They were really into Cena both ways. Definitely less Cena hatred than what I've seen at previous shows in this market. People, you know, that as you've talked about a lot on your podcast and stuff, people are warming up more to Cena, I think. And so he got a pretty decent reaction. And, you know, other than that, the other big impression, you know, starting with the long talking segment, didn't really get the crowd really revved up, even though I thought both Dolph and Dean were pretty good in that segment. And other than that, it's just amazing how much they just sell during the intermissions. You know, selling the network, all their celebrity appearances, and all that. It's overwhelming. Yeah, movies, Flintstones, Scooby Doo, all of it. It's not the same wrestling that you grew up with, or that I grew up with, at least.
No. I mean,
I'll hop off.
There's no downtime. They make sure there's no downtime. It's high energy. Big, but you know, watching old wrestling growing up, you know, before this era, they didn't have the big screens in the arenas to run commercials. If they did, they would have. I suspect they would have been running, you know, in-house commercials and ads. In my day, as a kid watching wrestling, you know, you would get the ring announcer announcing next month's date and lineup, and otherwise there'd actually be some downtime to, you know, talk to your. To the friend you went to the show with and that kind of thing. But Jason, appreciate the update on what happened off air, and hope you'll call the show on a regular basis even when you're not attending live.
Absolutely, thanks a lot, Wade. Good show as always.
You bet. Thank you. All right, let's go next to area code 540-540. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hey, Wade, this is Michael from Northwest Virginia.
Hey, Michael, good to hear from you. What have you got for us, or for me? I'm so used to us.
Yeah, right.
Evening, I agree, day, it's hard to keep track.
Yeah, whatever it is. I think from what I've been hearing, I just tuned in, but I thought I heard you saying what I'm about to say. I see AJ going over Cena this Sunday. I personally do, because I think he's going to establish himself as the top heel to meet the face, Dean, for the title. And I agree with you on what you said about Dean not doing himself any favors on the Stone Cold podcast. I do want to point out to you something. I initially watched it, and I thought right away before I ever heard anybody else talk about it, I thought, man, he's something off. And I didn't want to jump to, you know, speak out of turn. And then I listened to what you had to say, you know, on your on the last Wade Keller hotline and whatnot, about how he, you know, he was maybe two different clashes of styles.
Yeah.
But I do want to point out something to you that makes me go back to my original thought, even though I agree with, you know, I agree with your sources and I guess what they said, but at first I thought he had cotton mouth, like nobody's business. And he was swigging water the whole beginning. And then if you watch the ending, he starts swigging something out of a red Solo cup. If you go back and watch it, I'm not sure. You know, I don't want to.
Well, you know,
don't want to speculate, but I got that, and then I got two other things for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think what matters is how he knew he was doing the interview, and it took a while to get revved up. It seemed like someone woke him up from a nap and said, "Hey, you got to do this show." That's kind of the way I would describe it. It just, but by the, I remember, you know, when I was typing up my report and my notes for the VIP Keller Hotline over the weekend, and Bruce Mitchell and I talked for 45-50 minutes about it on the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show this weekend too, and really dissected it. And there's more to it. There's a lot to that interview besides just the awkward dynamic between Steve and Dean. There were some interesting things he talked about with Brock Lesnar, for instance, and the Shield. And I don't know. I mean, I thought it was a good interview. I don't want his demeanor and his, I thought, disrespectful tone at times to Steve Austin. I thought it would be disrespectful if it was some, you know, if it was Byron Saxton doing the interview or Tom Phillips. But you take into account it was Steve Austin. And he's treating him like some jabroni local morning DJ who smarted off to him and is acting cocky and irritating him at 5 a.m. when he's tired. It just seemed weird. But that said, there was some good stuff in that interview, too. But by the 40-minute mark, which is pretty deep into the interview, I remember thinking, wow, he's revved up and he's going. You know, he's actually kind of into this now. But it took him so long to get into it. So anyway, I know you got some other things to talk about.
You know, you're absolutely right. That was that's how I felt about it. And it was, there was a lot of great points, a lot of insight into the WrestleMania thing. And I noticed what you said about the ending of the interview, how he, you know, Austin threw his arms up. I watched that over and over and over, and I pretty much got a, trying to read the lips, got a good insight into what was going on there. SmackDown tonight, I thought, you know, once again, it beat Raw. I think four weeks out of 3 out of 4 weeks, I think they beat SmackDown, beat Raw.
I agree.
Going into SummerSlam, and I think it was a great A show. The one thing I've been trying to translate, I don't know if you listened to anything the after shows previously, but I was talking to James before about how my girlfriend has recently just started watching wrestling, and as you said before, it's an interesting insight to hear what she has to say or what new people have to say about it. And it's comical, but it, you know, it really gives you an insight as to maybe why sometimes they book the way they do, because she's going along with what you know she goes, I'll quote, if I can speak freely here, she goes, Eva Marie is bullshit. That's what she said. She doesn't like her. She thinks, you know, and it's just, it's comical. And she goes, Brock is a beast. But for whatever reason, she said, I hope Randy kicks his ass. And I think, she, you know, it's a combination of, I think she thinks he's hot and has a certain edge to him. And, you know, just interesting insights. I'm trying to keep you all posted on that as this thing evolves, because it's only been going on for 2 or 3 weeks.
I got to interject. I always enjoy watching wrestling with somebody who is not a wrestling fan. Because you do get a perspective on things that's different. You know, I mean, just little things like, you know, tonight I was, you know, when Baron Corbin beat up Kalisto and was being a real bully to him backstage, shoving his head against the wall and all that. And then they went back to the announcers, and JBL just sort of goes, well, love him or hate him, you know, he sure makes an impact. And then Mauro and Otunga, who are supposed to be the moral compass of the show, are like, all right, well, let's move on to, you know, talking about the SummerSlam lineup. And I'm like, wait a second. Baron Corbin just beat up and bullied Kalisto, and you don't – I mean, Otunga and Mauro should have been disgusted. They should have been going, there is no place in WWE for somebody doing that. If you want to prove you're tough, we have a ring. And Mauro should have pointed at the ring and said, there's a ring. It's 10 feet away from me. That's where wrestlers should fight. If Baron Corbin wants to prove how tough he should wait for the bell to ring like everybody else and wrestle him. That is not, that should not be tolerated around here. And I hope that Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon let him know and hit him in the pocketbook that's not how things are done around here. That's how you get a heel over. You have to act like he actually did something wrong. And JBL didn't act like he did anything wrong. He said, well, you know, either way, he's tough. And so when you're watching with a non-fan, they react to that kind of thing. They're like, why is that allowed? What's going to happen? Why does nobody seem to care that this guy did that? Like, those are the moments that I think the people who write the show, would benefit from, too. I don't know how often, if ever, Vince McMahon sits down and just watches a show with somebody who doesn't really know wrestling, but has a mild curiosity about it. I think you can actually pick up some details that you otherwise wouldn't about things that you're kind of just doing wrong and don't even realize.
Right, Wade. I swear to God, I mean, I've listened to your – I've only been a VIP member since November, and you all do incredible work. And I got to say, I wish I'd been a member for years before that, but – I've become so smart to it now, and it's interesting, like you just said, to sit down and watch it with somebody else. I think at times somebody in WWE is listening to everything that you say, because after about 2, 3, 4 months, it starts to happen.
Yeah.
It really does. I've seen it, like, just in the short time I've been listening, and I'm just like, man. And another thing I wanted to say is...
Hey, Michael, pause for or Michael, a second, because there was something on tonight's show. I was harping last week, and I just sort of write it off as, you know, there's people who see things that I see. I'm not saying, you know, it's a direct response or anything like that, so I don't want to go down that road. But Heath Slater said to Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon, I watched a replay of SmackDown last week. When you guys were about to give me a contract, and he didn't say it, but and he opened his big mouth and ruined it. Like, you never have wrestlers on a show acknowledge that they watched the previous week's show, something that the entire world saw, and usually a week later they're oblivious to it. And it makes no sense. Even if they don't watch their own show, somebody should tell them. Somebody should text Heath and go, Heath, you blew it. Cue up the segment with you. You would have gotten a contract. Like, wrestlers should live in the world that the fans do, in the sense that if it airs, it should be knowledge to the wrestlers. And I made a big deal out of that last week on another topic, and I kind of popped tonight when I saw Heath go, I watched back the show, and I saw what happened. So it was a step in the right direction. I mean, it might seem like a small thing, but it's that kind of details. Those kinds of details add up.
Right. And, you know, if you won't do it, I'll pat you on the back and say that I think the guys are listening to The Torch and other podcasts. They have to be. There's no way you could be in this business and not be getting constructive feedback. Just, you know, you got all this resource out here now, and that's a prime example. Another thing I wanted to point out real quick that she said, you know, watching from a non-fan's point of view, back when Charlotte cut that scathing promo on Ric Flair, and Rick was crying in the ring, I was sitting there clapping, and she was like, what are you doing? This is horrible.
Yep.
This is horrible. And I was like, this is gold right now. What she's doing, she's got some legit heel heat on her.
Yep.
And the same thing with AJ, when he was cutting that promo on John Cena, and they cut to the crowd a couple times. I told James this a couple weeks ago. They cut to the crowd, and you saw it's kind of those old school shots where the dads and the moms are holding their kids, and the kids are, you know, you see the faces, and the parents' face even starts to turn like, I don't want my children hearing this.
Yep.
And she's legitimately sitting there going, this is the, like, I hate AJ. I hate him. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is gold.
AJ has been, he's been so good. I mean, he got off to a little bit of a rocky start. I think the bright lights and the pressure and not knowing if he was being judged harshly, and he was the outsider, and you're a big fish in a small pond, but around here you're not going to make it. I thought for the first month there was some of that, maybe the first few months even. But boy, did he prove himself, and boy, did he win over Vince McMahon. And on color commentary tonight, he was great. I mean, it's just, he doesn't even seem like he's trying that hard. And that's one thing that I like about AJ, is he's in the flow. You just feel like what he's saying most of the time is just him knowing his character. It's believable. I buy into it. And it's heelish. It's not, he's not just going for haha one-liners to win over, you know, the internet crowd. He's actually trying to just be an obnoxious heel character, agitating the baby faces, agitating people like your girlfriend. So, I think AJ's been tremendous, tremendous this year.
Yep.
All right. Well, Michael,
one real quick thing. Maybe,
go ahead.
Can I give like 20, 30 seconds to this? The new TNA Grand Champion, I know this isn't SmackDown related, but the new TNA Grand Championship, I just want to say, I feel like that undermines the prestige of the TNA World Championship. Your thoughts on that? And that's all I got.
All right, thank you very much. Well, I'll probably address this more so tomorrow with Jason Powell on the midweek flagship edition of the PW Torch Livecast. I don't know what is going on with that. The idea of having a second title. Well, I mean, ROH did it where they had the Pure Championship, you know, a dozen years ago. And I kind of liked that. I like the idea that there's going to be a different set of rules with a different champion. I mean, really, the X Division. I remember talking to Jerry Jarrett back when TNA first launched, and he was the co-founder, the dad of Jeff Jarrett, a longtime promoter out of Tennessee. And he and I talked on the phone a lot. He did a really, really interesting interview with me in the 90s talking about the inner workings of WWE, because when Vince McMahon was on trial and facing possible prison time for steroid distribution, And he brought Jerry Jarrett in as a guy to run the business in his absence, to keep an eye on the books and manage people. And he was the guy that Vince trusted. And then, you know, when Vince was found not guilty, Jerry, you know, didn't end up sticking around for a very long time. And he ended up doing a torch talk with me, talking about the inner workings of the business. And it's it's just finding that in the VIP archives when you go VIP is fascinating. Hearing about the pre-public company IPO, the pre-writing team era of WWE, and how Vince McMahon's creative process worked back then compared to now was really fascinating. But that said, Jerry and I were talking on the phone when TNA was launching, and I wanted to know, what is an X Division match? How is it different? What wrestler would compete in the X Division compared to the heavyweight division? And he's like, well, the X Division is about no limits. And it's not weight limits, it's no limits. And I'm like, well, yeah, so why won't Samoa Joe just go in, or Abyss go in and beat up the small guys if the idea is size matters? And he's like, well, it's just, and he didn't really have an answer. You know, there weren't separate rules. There wasn't a weight designation. It was sort of just a different name for a division that, as Samoa Joe eventually proved, anybody could enter and compete in and win, even if you were way over 210 pounds. So I like having a separate set of rules to create a difference between the two titles. So I'm going to wait and see on it. I'm curious to talk to Jason about it more at length. But I guess just as a teaser, I'll say that I'm open-minded to it, and I like the idea that if they're going to be separate rules, that it explains why a different wrestler might go for it, because he thinks that fits his style more than another style. It's like there's people who can kickbox, but they can't fight in MMA because they don't have submission defense. But they're really good at kickboxing, so they stay in kickboxing. Not a perfect analogy, but I'm curious to see how it plays out. And it's a conversation piece, and TNA can certainly stand to be in the news. All right, we're at the near the top of the hour here. I'm going to wrap up on that note. I thank everybody for joining me today. I'll be back next Tuesday with another live post-SmackDown program. You can, as a VIP member, hear my thoughts on everything on SmackDown, 30, 40 minutes of me walking through every aspect of the show, just as I did last night after Raw, going nearly an hour in depth on last night's Raw, walking through every segment in order, commenting on it, giving my analysis. If you missed the show, it's a good way to kind of catch up on what happened. I don't go into like every move that happened in every match or everything that's said, but give pretty good detail and interject commentary throughout. I'll be doing the same thing right now, right as I hang up on the or close out this live cast. I'll be logging in and posting that VIP exclusive full review of everything on SmackDown. That'll be available for VIP members in about an hour. It won't be live, but it'll be posted in about an hour on our VIP feed. I mentioned earlier the VIP membership. We're going to close with some word on that if you're interested in being a VIP member. I also want to encourage all of you to support us by going to, when you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there. Think of this show. Think of an easy way to take 5 extra seconds and support us. This adds up. It makes a difference. Go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. It's just a simple text page with a link, US, UK. Click on it. If you're from the UK, click on the UK link, of course. Goes without say, I guess. And if you're from the US, click on the US link. It takes you right to the page you're going to anyway. But Amazon knows that we sent you there, that you came from our website, and we get a commission on everything you buy. So you spend the same money that you would have otherwise, but we get a commission. And you can bookmark that page and go back to it every time you shop at Amazon, and we'll get a small commission on it. And we have a big listenership here at the Livecast growing every year, and the more of you who do that, I know a lot of you shop at Amazon, the more it adds up, and it really does help us do what we do, make the improvements that we make, add to the staff, and just try to keep everybody happy around here and pay the bills. So we really appreciate those of you who are already doing it, and I am inviting all of you to continue doing it. I apologize we didn't get to all the calls, but I'll be by tomorrow, 1 Eastern with Jason Powell. On Thursday, Matt Morgan returns to the livecast, one of our favorite guests on the livecast this year. He's been on a few times earlier this year, and we got really good response to it. We're really glad to have him back on Thursday. I'll be talking to him about SummerSlam, and he keeps up on the product closely. And he has really well-thought-out opinions, really informed opinions, and gives that big wrestler perspective on what's going on in the ring. He had some really good insight a few months back when he was on talking about Roman Reigns and his in-ring style. So Matt will be on Thursday. So you can hear more of me the next 2 days. And then Friday, Bruce and Travis at 7 Eastern. And then Jim Valley, Saturday Morning Wrestling. And you can find the whole schedule and catch up on shows you missed at pwtorchlivecast.com. That is the homepage for this show. And it's the place to go if you want to listen live, or if you want to listen on demand, or you want to subscribe to our show. That's pwtorchlivecast.com. But most of all, not most of all, but underlining, MMATorch.com, our sister website. If you're into UFC, we've got great new writers, great new features, a ton of news, and a ton of features you won't find anywhere else at other websites that cover MMA. We're real heavy on opinion, analysis, roundtables, perspective from people who have trained in MMA, people who have followed the sport for a long time. Really good writers added to the staff, added to the team recently. I hope you'll check it out as part of the place, as one of the places you go when you're seeking out MMA information, MMA opinion. We'll have a fight preview. Jamie Pennick will be covering UFC 202 live on Saturday night. So check out details, whether you order the event or not. If you're watching the show, you can follow along his commentary and get his opinion on the fights as they happen. And if you're not watching the show because you're watching NXT TakeOver, you can find out what's happening by going to MMATorch.com. So I hope you'll check that out. Again, thanks everybody for your support of what we do here at PWTorch.com and at the PW Torch Livecast. I look forward to talking to you again tomorrow and having Jason Powell back with me to discuss not just Raw and SmackDown, but TNA, ROH, Evolve, and much more. So join us tomorrow, 1 Eastern. We look forward to your calls, and we will talk to you tomorrow. This is Live!